Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today is no different than any other day. We have a fantastic guest, originally from the United Kingdom, moved to Australia, and back visiting in the UK. But today, she's on the edge with us. It is Sarah Griffiths, and she is a hypnotherapist like no other. She is skilled and trained in helping individuals trying to get over sexual trauma. We're going to talk to her a little bit about that, her skill, her expertise, why she picked this particular genre or population of individuals to work with, her love for camping outdoors, and she's also a restaurateur. So without further ado, we want to welcome our guest, Sarah Griffiths, to the Edge. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This is so exciting. I'm glad. I've been waiting to have you on the show. I forgot to tell my brains, too, that you are also an accomplished author. Tell me a little bit about what is NLP and CBT, and I want to jump into that so that people can have a foundation for the work that you do with hypnotherapy.
Sure. So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, and CBT is cognitive behavior therapy. And they're both traditional therapies in their own right, but I use them combined with hypnosis, and it kind of creates a super therapy. It's like therapy on steroids, what we can achieve with those particular tools in hypnosis rather than dealing with the logical conscious mind. It's very different.
Yeah, dealing with the subconscious mind, but that can be a little touchy too. Do you think that people can really penetrate all of that NLP, hypnotherapy, psychotherapy, and also have an awakening and be okay? Is that a little much?
Do you mean have a shift? Have a shift in get a result?
That's more than a shift. That's a mountain mover. Yes, that's a lot of work.
That's what happens, because we go straight to the root cause. Mm. And your emotion, your subconscious is very, very powerful. It stores a lot of information. It has all the emotional root causes of everything that you're going through. It's very, very powerful for transformation. Yeah.
So tell me about the individuals that you work with. I know that there's a lot of talk therapy that I know the individuals go through, but what is your process? What makes it so innovative and cutting edge?
It's the combination. I think it's the way that I use NLP and CBT. I use very, very specific upgrading techniques. And when I've got someone in hypnosis and we access the, they understand for the first time the emotional root cause of their problem, because it's not possible for them to know really in their logical mind. And then we apply these particular tools in a particular way, and the results are outstanding. They're incredible. Very, very fast.
Yeah, because I know that you were telling me that you could really kind of have someone get a shift and a breakthrough within one session with you.
That is, I'm not saying that all they will need is one session, because obviously it depends what's wrong. But very, very definitely, I expect my clients to have a major shift in the first session. Even clients that have been in talk therapy for many years have a major shift when we do it this way. Always. Yeah.
Wow. Always. How did you pick this particular field of study? How did you pick and decide to work with individuals with sexual trauma?
Okay, now that's interesting, because I didn't actually pick it. It sort of picked me. It evolved because I was dealing with a really cross section of clients who were coming to me for everything: depression, anxiety, anger, weight loss, all these kind of trauma-related symptoms. And what I discovered when I was working with them was that about 80% of them had an abuse trauma in their background. That was the root cause. The subconscious will reveal it as the root cause, even if people don't know. So all this stuff was coming up in the actual sessions, and I just thought, well, I'm dealing with this as it comes up, so I may as well just deal with people who know that they have sexual abuse, who know that they have all these symptoms, and I'll just work with that group of people, and then I'm specialized in that. And the funny thing is, of course, people still come to me for all sorts of other things, but right. Sexual abuse trauma is it evolved from what I was doing. Yeah.
Well, a couple things. I want you to maybe take it a deeper level and tell me what is sexual abuse trauma. I had one gentleman that was on my show, one of my outstanding guests, and he was traumatized where he was locked in a closet, literally. Yeah. And so everybody has different degrees of what is traumatic to them. Do you have a baseline? I know everyone's different, but do you have a baseline for when people really think that they may have been subjected to some trauma or some terror?
No, not really, because as you say, it is different for everyone. And mm-hmm. some people, see, trauma is something, it stays with you. The problem with trauma is, okay, the event in itself is bad, always, and sometimes it's sustained. People sustain sexual abuse over many, many years. Mm-hmm. And we know that other people get seriously affected just by one event, but that could be a rape. It could be being locked in a cupboard. Mm. But the interesting thing about trauma always comes from how something has left you feeling about yourself. And there are common threads to that. Feeling vulnerable, feeling powerless, mm-hmm. feeling as if you have no choice, mm-hmm. feeling violated, mm-hmm. feeling not strong enough. And these feelings, these are the common threads. And what happens is that's a neural pathway, a thought process that gets created, that if people are abused as children, they carry into their adult lives. And then they're living their adult lives with the thought processes that were appropriate for when they were children.
Right.
And in the work I do.
We don't want to confuse people, because, you know, a lot of times people think, okay, well, if I go through this hypnotherapy or if I go through this process, that this is actually going to erase it. And it's not going to erase it, because it's imprinted like on a disc or a CD or anything else. It's embedded in your mind. But I think it's more of how you're going to react and how you show up when these situations arise.
Absolutely. It doesn't erase the event, but what we do is totally change how you see the event and how you see yourself afterwards. Mm. Because that's where the problem is. So that's what we change. Yes.
Now, again, you're talking about sexual trauma and hurt people, you know, that unfortunately how it is. Have you ever worked with anyone that was a pedophile or had thoughts of pedophilia?
I haven't personally. But I know that Marissa Peer, who actually is the trainer of the methodology that I use, she has worked with pedophiles, not pedophiles who are committing offences, mm-hmm. because they tend not to seek help, because they don't see that what they're doing is wrong. Normally, they can normally just
unless they're about to get chemically castrated.
People that she's worked with are people who weren't at that stage, people who were having thoughts and desires and knew on some level that they didn't want to do this. Mm-hmm. She has worked with those people to stop them actually acting out on what they're thinking and feeling. Yes.
Let me ask you another question. Do you find, it's kind of tough to kind of, you know, slice and dice it, but do you find that more of your clients are female or men? And the men seem like they might be a little bit more reluctant to talk about sexual abuse and trauma.
Yeah, men are more reluctant to talk about it, but that's something in our society that we need to change. And it's this whole thing about this whole traditional thing about men being men, mm-hmm. getting on with it, sucking it up, not looking weak. And it's nothing to do with looking weak. It's very traumatic. Mm-hmm. So I see more women, but that's probably because women relate to me.
Right.
Relate to me, but you know, I'm happy to deal with men too. And the sad thing about that is more men and boys are sexually abused than girls. Mm-hmm. It's higher in men. And yet so many of them just don't seek any help at all. And obviously a big factor of that is guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know? So and sexuality, they don't want to be quote unquote labeled.
No.
Is that me?
That's fine.
Oh, go ahead and answer, girl. Go ahead, take your time. Brains, in the meantime, I want you to go back and be sure that you listen to other Edgy Conversations here on The Edge on Blog Talk Radio. We're doing all kinds of great stuff, art, entertainment, music, science. I had a great interview of a woman that was actually catfished out of $400,000. Who does that? We've got some great Comic-Con coming up. They're going to talk all things Marvel and Comic-Con. So again, if you missed the top of the segment, you missed a treat. Sarah had to go answer the phone. So we have Sarah Griffith here from the UK, United Kingdom, and we're talking about victims of sexual assault and sexual abuse and her work as a hypnotherapist to help them get through that. Thank you. Was a call for me?
Well, that's so funny. I'm not used to having a house phone, but I'm staying with my sister and I'm the only person in. And of course, the phone has rang. She's got a house phone. Who has a house phone these days? I do.
Okay. We just had an earthquake here in the United States, honey, and they're going to shut those cell phones down. You need to have a landline phone and a flashlight and all that, but that's a whole nother show. So anyway, we want to get back to the population that you're working with and the individuals. And we had talked a little bit about paedophilia, and we talked about, you know, pain and hurt and anxiety, but you've been able to also capture a lot of the work that you do in a book. Please tell us about your publication.
Okay, so my book I wrote a couple of years ago, and it was the culmination of my understanding of really how we are so much a product of our environment and our upbringing, and how everything we do and say and think, unless we recognize it and change it, is a product of what is fed into us. So these core beliefs and learned behaviors. And really, in our marriage, my husband and I, we had a lot of issues because he had core beliefs and mine were different.
Right.
And we had this constant clashing that we didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I wrote the book to illustrate how we're all a product of these learned beliefs, how this was coming into our relationship, and how if only we had known, we could have changed the outcome. We could have changed what was happening. And I know that it's helped. I've had so much good feedback about how it has helped people recognize this in their own lives. So I'm really happy about that.
Well, tell our brains the topic of your, the subject. Okay, April, the title of your book.
Oh, it's called The Unlikely Seven-Figure Entrepreneur.
Wow.
And the reason it's called that is because of my demographic never led me to believe that I would be successful. My whole traumatic background is of being bullied at school and of always thinking that I would never be anything. So, yeah.
How old were you when you moved to Australia?
I was, I was about 40. Yes, about 40.
Okay, 40. Because you know what? And I say this, I love you Australians, but I have read, and even when I was in Australia, because you know, I won the trip to Australia with Ellen DeGeneres, girl, it was off the chain. But when I came there, I found out that bullying is paramount. I mean, that's one of the biggest problems that they have there in Australia, be it with the workplace bullying of adults and children. So I'm really hoping that people kind of get through that, because you can't force your way on anybody, be it sexually, be it emotionally, be it spiritually. You just can't push your way. You have to allow people some space. And so you have written this great book and you've had a wealth of experience, but you're also a restaurateur. And you owned a coffee house. Now, I know that you love coffee there in the UK. It used to be tea, but now coffee's the thing. Tell us about your experience with your franchise and what you're doing now in the world of restaurants.
Okay, so funny enough, I got into franchising because I wanted to open my own business. This was all part of my journey of overcoming this trauma of bullying, of proving that I could be someone, really. I don't have my franchise anymore. I've recently let that go. But we do have a really lovely restaurant in one of the major wine regions south of Perth in Margaret River in Australia. And my husband and one of my sons are currently running that at the moment. So, yeah, so that's another side of what I do.
And so in your recreation time, you know, if you're not there luxuriating in your restaurant. You said that you like to go camping and you like to do wine tasting. I bet it's beautiful.
Well, down in that wine region, yes, we love going out to the wineries. The beach is my happy place. Anything to do with the beach, the sea, I absolutely love. Walking my dog is a big thing for me. But since I'm back in the UK here, yes, I'm in an area of, it's called the Cotswolds. It's very, very beautiful. And I have been camping a few times with friends and love going out walking in the hills. When I have the time, I adore cooking. Mm. I love to plan a meal, go buy the ingredients, spend time cooking it, especially if I can buy a bottle of wine and someone will stand and chat to me while I'm cooking. I just love that. That's gorgeous.
That is wonderful. Well, you're doing a lot of great, amazing things in the world. Please share with my brains how they can get in contact with you and, you know, maybe do, because I know that you're working virtually as well. How might they get in contact with you?
Yeah, I do work virtually. In fact, most of my clients at the moment are in the US, so all my sessions are virtual. Best way is probably my website, which is www.sallyg.com. So that's the name Sally with the initial G after it. And then on Facebook, if they look up my name, Sarah Griffiths, and the sexual abuse trauma expert, they'll find me on there. There's not many people doing that work. Sadly, not nearly enough.
I know, I know. Let me ask you one or two more questions before we conclude. You know, sexuality is a lot more open in European countries. They talk about it, you know, being gay, being naked, polygamous relationships are not common. But in America, you know, it's like somebody drank some awful sauce and they even bring it up. How are people approaching this? Is this something that is included in maybe medical benefits for people that, you know, psychological benefits to help them get through this? What kind of programs are out there?
I did a Facebook Live yesterday about this, about how we have to change our attitude towards how we deal with these kind of deep-rooted issues. Mm-hmm. Because for my work, I'm a private therapist, and there is nothing that allows people to come to see someone like me. Mm. So they can, the only things that are government and medical funded are the traditional talk therapy. And I'm not saying they're no good. I wouldn't say that. And some people do get very good results with them. But equally, I see people who have been in talk therapy for years. Mm-hmm. But to come to someone like me who does this alternative super therapy, they've got to be self-funded. At the end of the day, it's priceless. You only have every minute of your life once. And the best investment you can make is in yourself.
You've got to be careful in this environment too, because you've got to be able to trust the person. You got to feel comfortable. Trust is paramount, you know, because again, you're not just touching the surface, you're going deep into the subconscious mind.
And that's a big thing as well for victims of sexual abuse. They've learned not to trust people. Mm-hmm. You can imagine, you know, these people who were supposed to be caring for them and nurturing them, abused them. So they learn not to trust. So I spend a lot of time with my clients, putting out a lot of information, content. I spend time with them before a session. The client, everyone has to be very, very comfortable with me to work with me. That's a good point.
This is great. This is great. Well, you have been a wealth of information, and I thank you so much here for being on the edge with me and my brains. I'm getting a little back feed. Are you getting a little back feed? If we are, then forgive us. We'll go ahead and clean up the audio. We love you, brains. Thank you from checking in from the United Kingdom and Australia, all my fans there. Go back and listen to other edgy conversations here on Blog Talk Radio. We've got podcast potlucks. We've got a new program that's going to be coming out. Devil's in the details. Watch for it. So again, thank you so much, Sarah Griffith. You are amazing, and I wish you much success in everything you do, and promise me that you're going to come back to the edge.
Oh, brilliant. I'd love to. Yeah, thank you. All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.